All right, welcome everybody. My name is Divine. This is Dime Lecture number 3, and today we're gonna be focused on weird associations. Weird associations, you know, basically like geography, professions, locations, and all these strange things that lead to certain diagnoses on the USMLE exams. Again, the USMLEs, they're very, very good in producing questions where knowing the association can be super helpful in, you know, basically getting some direction on, hey, this is what the right answer should be, right? So basically, it's like, hey, if I see this one line in the vignette, what should I be thinking about, right? And again, remember, do the worksheet first. Do the worksheet first, right? Go down to the link below. Do the worksheet, answer the questions first, and then come back and listen to this video for the key. All right, so let's jump right into it. Okay, so the first one. Ohio and Mississippi River Valley, you know, caves, bats, bird droppings, chicken coops, intracellular yeast in macrophages. If you see this, what should you be thinking about? I would hope you're saying, Divine, this is histoplasmosis. Remember, histoplasmosis, histoplasma capsulatum, right? It causes a pulmonary infection. It's going to be an interstitial pattern, right? And typically, this is going to be treated with itraconazole. Because it's a fungal infection, you're going to use an antifungal. All right, let's go to number 2. China, especially southern China. Sore throat, nasal mass, throat mass, weight loss, bloody nose, bloody sputum production. They can even tell you that they take a biopsy of the mass and they see rapidly proliferating lymphocytes. If you see something like this, think of nasopharyngeal carcinoma from EBV, from the Epstein-Barr virus. Right? It can cause cancer of the nose. It can cause cancer of the pharynx. Remember, another thing that causes cancer of the nose on the USMLE exams is formaldehyde. Formaldehyde. I'll certainly know that for exams. Formaldehyde is a big one, right? But again, don't forget nasopharyngeal carcinoma. Remember, it has an Epstein-Barr virus association. And again, we tend to see it in people from China, especially from southern China. All right. Number 3, what if you see, again, the Ohio or Mississippi River Valley, the Great Lakes region, you see lung disease, skin disease, bone disease, and you see broad-based budding yeast? Well, I'd hope you're saying, Divine, this sounds like blastomycosis. This is Blastomyces dermatitidis. Blastomyces dermatitidis. You see very similar location to histoplasmosis, but again, you see this skin disease, bone disease. That's not usually something we're going to find with histoplasmosis. All right, number 4. What if you see a painful circular lesion on the lower extremities, right? Very painful, exquisitely tender. And we see Arizona, we see West Texas, we see earthquakes, we see New Mexico, we see disturbing the earth, we see living in the desert, we see spherules with endospores, we see pulmonary symptoms. When I see all these things, I would really hope you're saying, Divine, this sounds an awful lot like coccidiomycosis. What's this painful circular lesion on the lower extremities? It's going to be erythema nodosum. Erythema nodosum. Erythema nodosum. Remember, again, this has a very solid association with the southwestern United States. And if you really love the way I teach, you're going to love my courses. I have very comprehensive step 1 to step 3 classes. I actually have classes that start today. They're over Zoom. So if you want some more information on those, just click on the link below. Click on the link below this video, and I can give you some more information on those classes. Very well received. I've had very, very high scorers take my classes. All right, so let's go to number and I also help people for ERAS applications and one-on-one tutoring. All right, now let's go to number 5. Maker of African talking drums with hemoptysis. You're like, wait, what? African talking drums? What in the world, Divine? Well, I'm talking about what? Anthrax. Anthrax, anthrax, anthrax. You know, our friends at the MBMEs, they know that all of you have memorized, a person that works with sheep, a person that works in the clothing industry. So there's actually, there was actually like a bunch of cases actually of people that got anthrax from people that made African talking drums, right? Because those things involve the use of like animal skin, animal hide in making those things, right? So if you see that, think of anthrax. Remember, pulmonary anthrax, widening mediastinum, black eschar, and things like that. All right, let's go to number 6. Circular lesion on the upper extremities. Midwest, U.S. Northeast, Boston, Vermont, New Hampshire, New York, New Jersey, Maryland, Baltimore, stuff like that. When you see something like this, I hope you're saying, Divine, this is Lyme disease. This is Lyme disease. Treatment of choice, remember, is going to be doxycycline. Lyme disease carried by the Ixodes tick, right? Borrelia burgdorferi, which is a spirochete. Remember, the tick has to be attached to you for at least 36 hours for you to get disease, right? Okay, let's go to number 7. Same locations as 6, but now the indirect bilirubin is elevated and the patient is jaundiced. And there's an intracellular red blood cell finding on a blood smear. If you see this, I hope you're seeing divine. This sounds an awful lot like babesiosis, Babesia microti. Remember, babesiosis is also carried by the Ixodes tick, right? Also carried by the Ixodes tick, the deer tick. Remember, sometimes instead of calling it Ixodes, they will call it the deer tick, right? Remember, Babesia likes to infect red blood cells, right? Causes hemolytic anemia, so you can have an increase in your indirect bilirubin. And remember, on a blood smear, you're going to see the Maltese cross pattern. All right, let's go to number 8. We have a research scientist working with rabbits, or a person working in an animal lab, and a bug was dispersed inadvertently. This can actually be used for bioterrorism purposes. If you see this, think of what? Tularemia. Tularemia. Remember that association with rabbits. All right. Now, look at number 9. We see a sewage worker, right? Or a person that is in the military, a person that works with the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, a person that works with FEMA, you know, the Federal Emergency Management Authority, right? A person that is a first responder after a major flood, you know, that is trying to help people, and the person develops pulmonary symptoms, renal disease, liver disease. When you see something like this, I'd hope you're saying divine. This is what? Leptospirosis. Leptospirosis, remember, it can mess up your liver, mess up your kidneys, mess up your lungs. Okay, leptospirosis. And remember, it's a spirochete. And in treating that spirochete infection, you can actually develop the Jarisch-Hexheimer reaction. That is absolutely positively something our friends at the MBMEs can test on an exam. All right, let's go to number 10. Lives by the U.S.-Mexico border. In fact, they give you a question about an outbreak of this disease along the U.S.-Mexico border, or lives in North Carolina, southeastern United States, south central United States, sudden onset, high fevers, distal extremity rash. When you see something like this, think of what? Rocky Mountain spotted fever, right? Caused by rickettsia rickettsii. Treatment of choice is going to be doxycycline. This thing is pretty deadly. All right. So now we're going to go to number 11. A similar location as 6 and 7, right? So remember, 6 and 7 I emphasized. The Midwest, U.S. Northeast, Boston, Vermont, New Hampshire, New York, New Jersey, right? So similar location as 6 and 7. No rash. Morally in neutrophils, no CNS involvement. I really hope you're seeing divine. This is anaplasmosis. And by the way, this thing can cause a pancytopenia. It can cause a pancytopenia. It can cause leukopenia. It can cause thrombocytopenia. So you're just going to keep that at the back of your mind for exams, right? Again, this is also carried by the Ixodes tick, the deer tick, right? And it's treated with doxycycline. All right, let's look at number 12. So we see confusion. We see CNS involvement. We see morally in monocytes, not in neutrophils, in monocytes. We see fevers. We see chills. We see severe headache. We see myalgias. We see leukopenia. We see thrombocytopenia. We see southeastern, south central United States. If you see this, what should you be thinking about? I hope you're saying, hey, divine, this sounds like Ehrlichiosis, right? Remember, Ehrlichia chaffeensis, right? This is carried by the Lone Star tick. All right. Very similar to anaplasmosis, because it can cause, leukopenia, thrombocytopenia. But again, you're going to see morally monocytes, as against anaplasmosis, where you see morally neutrophils. And anaplasmosis tends to not involve the CNS. Ehrlichiosis tends to involve the CNS. All right. Number 13. So what if we see New Mexico, dry cough, shortness of breath, shock, really bad pulmonary edema? I'd really hope you're saying divine. This sounds a lot like hantavirus, right? Remember the association with like rodent urine and all that nasty goopy stuff. All right. New Mexico is definitely the place you want to know for hantavirus on your exams. Pretty sure that there was like a famous actor and his wife that passed from hantavirus recently, or maybe a couple years back or something like that. But anyhow, all right. Now let's go to question number 14. Liver transplant patient, profound shock, necrotizing fasciitis, seafood consumption. You see this, I hope you're saying, oh, divine, this is Vibrio vulnificus. You're like, wait, what? Vibrio vulnificus? Yep, remember, people that have bad livers, Vibrio vulnificus likes to do a number on those people, right? So you see seafood consumption, really bad skin and soft tissue infection, really bad septic shock in a person that has consumed seafood and has underlying liver disease, has cirrhosis, or has had a liver transplant. Think of Vibrio vulnificus. All right, number 15, necrotizing fasciitis in a patient with hemochromatosis after consuming seafood. Guys, what is this? This is another Vibrio vulnificus infection. This is another what? Vibrio vulnificus infection, right? This is another Vibrio vulnificus infection. The thing is, Vibrio vulnificus likes to thrive in environments where there's a lot of iron. It's an iron-loving bug. So if you see severe infection in a person that has an iron overload disease, think of Vibrio vulnificus. It can actually cause necrotizing fasciitis. All right, let's go to question number 16. We see severe facial pain in an individual with hemochromatosis. When you see this, what should you be thinking about? I hope you're saying, Divine, this is mucormycosis. You're like, wait, what? You're like, Divine, where's the DKA, man? Where's the diabetic emergency, man? Well, it's not here. Our friends at the MBMEs, they know that everyone and their grandparents have memorized, diabetic in DKA, facial infection. Well, these days, they love this with hemochromatosis. The thing is, mucormycosis loves iron. It grows very, very well when there's iron around. So you see a person that has a necrotizing fasciitis of the face, they have like a severe facial infection, and it's a person that has hemochromatosis, I absolutely, positively want you to think about mucormycosis in a person with hemochromatosis. All right, let's do question number 17. Profound bloody diarrhea in a patient with hemochromatosis. Right? Again, this must be an iron-loving bug, another iron-loving bug. This is going to be Yersinia, right? This is going to be Yersinia. Yersinia, right? Remember, it can cause bloody diarrhea. And again, it also survives very well. It survives very, very well on iron, right? So Yersinia enterocolitica. Remember, it tends to cause a bloody diarrhea. All right. Now, number 18, we have a missionary. Person went to spread the good news of Christ, right? Missionary returning from a country in sub-Saharan Africa with fever. When you see someone like this, think of Plasmodium falciparum, right? Think of malaria, right? Remember, this is carried by the Anopheles mosquito, right? Whenever you see fever in a returning traveler, the first thing you want to roll out is malaria, right? And don't forget those banana-shaped gametocytes, right? And there's many treatments, right? Atovaquone proguanil, there is tafenoquine, there is doxycycline, there is primaquine, there's many different things you can do here. All right, number 19, we're almost done here. Visiting Nigeria for a study abroad trip, and this person was denied entry. Whoa, why didn't they deny this person entry to like some sub-Saharan African country? Think of the person did not get the yellow fever vaccine. Remember, before you go to sub-Saharan African country, especially Nigeria, you need the yellow fever vaccine. You need to have gotten it at least 10 days before you travel. If you don't have your yellow fever card, you're not going to be entering Nigeria or any sub-Saharan African country for the most part, right? So keep that at the back of your mind for exams. One thing I guess I can mention is if you're going for the Hajj, right, in Saudi Arabia, and they're like, what do you need? Well, I hope you're carrying that meningococcal vaccine that you got recently as well. All right, let's do question number 20. So we see a young child adopted from an African country that has renal failure and hyperuricemia. When you see something like this, what should you be thinking about? Think of what? Burkitt's lymphoma. In fact, this child has tumor lysis syndrome. Remember, Burkitt's lymphoma is one of those things associated with EBV. That bug dies very, this cancer is very responsive to chemotherapy and whatnot. Even if you don't treat it, those are lymphocytes with that 814 translocation, they're live fast, die young, right? So they die very quickly. They don't have a very long half-life, right? And as those cells are dying, they're going to be spewing all their DNA material into the bloodstream. You form uric acid, and that can cause tumor lysis syndrome. All right, so I'm going to go ahead and stop here. Hopefully you found this to be helpful. Again, if you're interested in any of my classes or one-on-one tutoring or ERAS application help, click on the link down below or shoot me an email through the website divineinterventionpodcasts.com and I can give you, so podcast with an S at the end, and I can give you some more information. Have a wonderful day. God bless you and bye for now. Thank you.